Hello, welcome back to Journey the Monkey King. Journey... Wait, no, that was correct.
Yeah, that's the podcast is Journey of the Queen Gibbon.
Welcome back to Journey of the Monkey King with Queen myself, Quiva, and my friend MJ.
Hi!
Where we talk about a gibbon of some kind, apparently.
Yeah, a real girl boss gibbon.
Girl boss gibbon, that's the new name of the podcast.
Yeah, it's Gertrude the girl boss gibbon. She's out there doing capitalism.
So this episode of Gertrude the girl boss gibbon is going to feature, more talk about cannibalism, more death, more people being beaten rather badly to death. The usual fun that we have on here.
Yeah, well, that's all due to capitalism and Gertrude doing it. I'm in a weird mood today, guys. I'm sorry.
So when we last left off, Pilgrim's Son had just tricked two little demons, Wily Worm and Sly Devil, into trading their magic gourd and vase for a fake magic gourd. Before just completely disappearing on them.
And somebody finally told Sun Wukong, no, we're not doing your stupid idea.
Yeah, I mean, they still bent over backwards to accommodate him.
But at least a line was drawn.
He was not allowed to put heaven in a jar.
You cannot put a dimension in a jar. I mean, well, nobody's tried it, but we're pretty sure you can't, and even if you could, it would be ill-advised.
Yeah. So, Wily Worm is a bit worried about that last bit, where the immortal they were talking to suddenly just disappeared. But Sly Devil doesn't care. They have the gourd that's so powerful it can capture heaven itself, and he wants to try it out immediately. So he throws it up into the air as strong as he can, and absolutely nothing happens as it plops back onto the ground. It's not a good start.
No.
Wily Worm is more worried. He asks, do you think that immortal was maybe actually Pilgrim's Son? And Sly Devil says, oh, don't talk nonsense. Pilgrim's Son is pinned under three mountains. How could he possibly get out? Let me just try reciting that spell I heard him muttering a bit just before his demonstration. What was it? Oh. If there's but half a no, we shall ascend to the Divine Mist Hall and start a war. And he throws it up again as he says this. And before he's before he's even finished talking, it's already just fallen straight on the ground again.
Yeah.
And at this point, they both start to panic a bit. And Wukong has been watching them from the clouds and decides to fuck with them even more. He shakes his body to retrieve the piece of hair that he turned into the giant gourd. And Sly Devil turns to Wily Worm and he says, you know, hand me back the gourd there. And Wily Worm says, you were the one who had it.
What gourd? What?
You were holding. And then they realize it's just gone entirely. And that they have traded away the two magic treasures that Gold and Silverhorn gave them. And they now have nothing.
Welp.
So, Wily Worm then says the most intelligent thing that anyone has said in this entire novel. Which is, let's just fucking go. Let's just leave.
Yes! You don't need to stay here! Winners quit!
If it sucks, hit the bricks.
You can leave. You can leave these situations. You don't need to commit yourself. You just go off and go, maybe, I don't know, do some soul searching and then go live with Wallpaper Lady. And, you know, in my mind, everyone who gets out of this madness who's not a terrible being goes and lives in the same little village with the wallpaper lady, and they're like a commune, and they grow all sorts of things and, you know, make things, and you know.
Yeah, that's...
There might be a polycule, we don't know. They're just happy.
Well, Sly Devil doesn't want to let go, though.
That doesn't mean the other one has to stay.
he says
you can leave the codependent situation.
He says that the Silverhorn Demon King actually, he quite likes Wily Worm. He likes you, so if we say it's your fault and he's in a good mood, he may not kill us.
Wily Worm needs to get out.
And if he does, at least we'll die at home.
Leave. You've been given opportunity. No,
they head back together to the Lotus Flower Cave.
Oh, Wily Worm.
And Wukong turns into a fly to follow them. The book also pauses for a moment to explain how Wukong's shapeshifting works with the magic items he's carrying. How could he carry the gourd and the vase while he turns into a fly? Well, apparently they are like the golden hoop rod. They can change size to match the wielder, so they shrink down to fly scale for him.
Oh, okay, interesting. I like how that's covered.
To be honest, I think this explanation raises more questions than it answers, because I hadn't really thought about how he carries things while he shapeshifts at all. It's just, you know, it's magic, whatever. But if the magic items have special properties to shrink so he can carry them when he's small, then what about everything else? Like, what about his clothes? Like, the shirt he's wearing is just a hand-me-down from Tripitaka. He made the tiger skin skirt himself. They're not magic, maybe... they're just normal clothes.
Maybe he's got a magic radius that extends,
yeah,
so that he can shrink everything down, teeny tiny. But that does imply that he's a little fly wearing a sweater, which is just kind of adorable. Even if you are a hyper murder monkey, you just wear a little sweater.
And, you know, the band, he has the magic band around his head, so does that, like, no matter what he transforms to, does he always just have that band around his head and no one has mentioned it?
Oh, but Guanyin gave that, so yes, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got to imagine that when that band was made / gifted, every single eventuality was examined. Like, I this thing was proofed.
Yeah.
It was tested thoroughly.
Anyway, back in the plot, Wily Worm and Sly Devil tell the Golden Silverhorn Demons what happened and beg for forgiveness. But the two Demon Kings are honestly more scared than angry. But they do still have three other magic treasures to deal with Wukong with. They have the Sword of the Seven Stars, and the Pamli Fan are both still here in the cave. There's also the yellow gold rope, but that's at their mam's house.
At their mother's house?
Yes.
Okay.
So Mammy Horn lives out in the Crushed Dragon Cave in the Crushed Dragon Mountain, and they decide to send two minions out to invite her to come over for dinner, to eat the Tong Monk, and ask her to bring along the yellow gold rope with her as well.
I really want to meet Mammy Horn.
So Golden Horn asks who they should send, and Silverhorn just said, well, not these fucking Egypts, and he tells Wily Worm and Sly Devil to get lost, and the two of them are delighted that they have not been killed. Like, they did not expect to actually live through this, and they're so happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I hope Wily leaves. Like, really, just run the fuck away, dude. Run the fuck away.
Yeah, so instead they send two other minions named Hill Pawing Tiger and Sea Lolling Dragon with the message.
Sea Lolling.
Yeah, so Wukong is still a fly and he follows them as well. And after letting them walk ahead for a bit, he hangs back, turns into the shape of another monster and runs up to them as if catching up, and tells them to hold on. They ask him who he is, and he says, oh, don't you recognize me? We're all part of the same clan. And they're like, no, we've never seen you before in our lives. Who the hell are you? And Wukong claims to be from the external division, of the demon army, and see Lolling Dragon says, "I've never met any officer from the external division before," which should really be a clue to him that something is up. But he asks why Wukong is here, and he tells them that Goldenhorn ordered him to tell them to hurry up. That
also does not seem very plausible.
No, that's basically the entire message. He does repeat to them the message that Goldenhorn told them to give to the mother, which does convince them that he's legitimate because he knows what they're meant to be saying.
I mean, they're not going to immediately assume, oh, it's Pilgrim Son who's turned into a fly.
Yeah, exactly.
And been a literal fly on the wall
throughout
this whole thing.
Wukong joining Hillpong Tiger and Sea Lulling Dragon run ahead for a few miles, and Wukong asks them how far away the cave is. And Sea Lulling Dragon points up to a dark forest up ahead, and he tells them, oh, that's where we're going, that's where it is. So now knowing where he needs to go, Wukong immediately kills both of them. He transforms into Sea Lulling Dragon, and he turns one of his hairs into Hillpong Tiger. It doesn't take him long to find two stone doors in the middle of the forest, and he calls to be let in. And the Horns' mother is inside. She's described mostly as old. She's snow-white hair, wrinkled face, and only a few teeth left. But she's also described as rugged like an old pine tree, full of spirit and with star-like eyes.
Mommy Horns still got it going on?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
All her servants are female monsters, though they're not really given any descriptions other than that. As he's about to go in, Wukong suddenly starts weeping silently. He just realizes that he's going to have to bow to this monster, and it's hurting his pride an awful lot. Bowing to Buddha, Guanyin, or Tripitaka is one thing, but he finds the thought of having to kowtow to this monster really humiliating.
Just suck it up, come on.
He does suck it up and go in and bows and tells her the message. She's delighted. She says she has such good sons to invite her home to eat a monk with them. And she has two of her staff carry her out in a sedan chair, leaves the rest behind, and she tells Wukong to lead her back. After about 5 or 6 miles, Pilgrim Sun suggests that they rest for a bit. He sits down, plucks out one of his hairs, and he turns it into a huge biscuit and starts making a big show of eating it and enjoying it. So the two sedan carriers put down the chair and ask for some food, and he offers it, but when they get close, he pulls out the iron rod and swings at them. He kills the first instantly, but the second one takes a little longer to die and screams out in pain. And when she does, the old woman sticks out her head from the sedan to see what's happening. And when she does, Wukong brings the rod down, smashes her head open, and kills her. Yeah, she didn't last very long.
We do occasionally forget that he is just very murderous and quite cruel.
So Wukong drags her out and discovers that she was actually a nine-tailed fox spirit. So I mentioned this to MJ before the podcast that the nine-tailed fox is like a common enough, I think, spirit. Yeah,
there are legends about it all throughout East Asia. There Kitsune in Japan, something else in Korea, I don't actually know, and Huli Jing is a fox spirit, and Shuai Hu is a nine-tailed fox in China. So there the legend kind of changes over time. And appears to be different in different parts of China. When a fox is 50 years old, it can transform itself into a woman. When 100 years old, it becomes a beautiful female or spirit medium, or an adult male with sexual intercourse with women. When a fox is 1,000 years old, it can ascend to heaven and become a celestial fox. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do with foxes in Chinese mythology, basically. But a nine-tailed fox, they shapeshift in form. Nobody seems to be quite sure whether they want to fuck you, bring prosperity to your village, or eat you. Again, this is something that changes over time, but where I was kind of interested is there's a contemporary novel called Feng Shen Yan Yi, where a nine-tailed fox spirit is mentioned. That there's a beautiful daughter of a general who is married to a really cruel tyrant, and someone a fox spirit enters her body and expels this woman's soul, and they invent lots of torture things and ways of punishing people. The example given here is forcing righteous officials to hug red hot metal pillars, and then the conflict of the novel is then the people rebel against the Shang dynasty then. So I'm wondering if that'll be parodied or pastiched or whatever here. But yeah, nine-tailed fox spirits, they're like, it kind of they seem kind of like the fae. You're not They might do good things, they might do bad things, you're not really certain you want to be involved with
It's
them.
just on their whims,
Yeah, you don't
but
want to fuck with them
yeah,
either.
I'm afraid like the mountains, this is just kind of an anticlimax if you're coming in
Son of a
expecting it. She's just dead now.
bitch.
She's dead before she can really do anything.
You're
It's
just
just
trolling me with these, aren't you?
it. I'm
I
not, but
refuse.
it.
Anyway, I can assume that killing a nine-tailed fox spirit is not going to end well for Sun Wukong.
And he also just murdered these two guys' mother.
Yeah.
He's still holding a bit of grudge about having to bow to her, and he shouts at her corpse a bit. He doesn't do anything else. He doesn't do anything like weird. He just gives out a bit.
So shouting at a corpse isn't weird at all.
We've all gotten one too many drinks in at a funeral.
True that. True that. I personally have never shouted at a corpse. I'm sure many people have, but I personally have not.
Wukong shapeshifts into her appearance, and he pulls out a few hairs and he turns them into all of the servants that he has murdered and needs to replace.
My God.
So when their mother arrives, Gold and Silverhorn throw a huge feast for her. She's seated at the
Yeah.
north. She's seated at the north end of the table, which is the position of seniority.
Mammy's boy.
Tripitaka, Zhu Baji, and Xiao Wujing are all still hanging from a beam inside the cave, and Baji recognizes Wukong in disguise and starts laughing. He caught a glimpse of the tail when Wukong bent over. At the feast, the boys tell their mom that they've invited her here to eat the Tong Monk with them, but Wukong says, "Oh, to be honest, I'm not too keen about eating the Tong Monk. But I heard that Zhu Baji's ears taste marvelous. Why don't you cut them off and make an appetizer for me?"
It's impossible to feel bad about anything bad happening to Zhu
Baji feels bad about it. He does hear this. He's in the same room, and he immediately shouts back at Wukong, threatening to tell them who he really is. Which everyone hears, and obviously instantly reveals that it's a disguise anyway.
Ah, oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah.
At the same time, it wouldn't really matter, because at the same time, a couple of imps who were on patrol burst in and announced that the old madam, as they called her, was found beaten to death and thrown at the side of the road. Wukong really must learn about hiding bodies at some point. This is not the first time this has happened.
Yeah. He's more of a sort of smash and grab.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Like, you can fly. Like, he could hide a body the next country over.
Yeah. Yeah, you could turn into something carnivorous and eat it.
Oh, I guess. Well, he's a vegetarian now.
Oh, of course. But yeah, no, he really could dump bodies very far.
Yeah.
Very far afield, but I don't think he doesn't really think through the consequences of his actions.
Oh God, no. Not
he's
ever.
He's rather impulsive. You know, he's probably already forgotten about killing these people by the time he's like 5 minutes later.
Yeah, so Goldhorn, learning that his mother is dead, pulls out his sword of seven stars and attacks Wukong. But Wukong creates a blinding flash of red light and flees. He just does a flashbang from his body somehow.
Yeah, it's not a power we've seen before, but fuck it, why not?
Goldenhorn is pretty shaken after this, and he tells Silverhorn just to let down Tripitaka and the rest and just let them go. Just let Pilgrim Sun take them away. Give up.
I mean, his mammy's just died.
Yeah, Silverhorn doesn't want to, though, so the younger brother orders his minions to bring out his armor before heading outside to fight Wukong. They're actually fairly evenly matched. They go on fighting for a while, and Wukong decides to try and turn the tides using the treasures he stole to help him. He considers using the gourd first, but he realizes that Silverhorn knows how it works, and he isn't going to fall for the trick. So instead, he tries to use the yellow gold rope to lasso him. Silverhorn obviously also knows how the rope works, and it actually has a spell to cause it to tighten and a spell to cause it to fall loose. So as soon as Wukong throws it around him, he recites the spell to make it drop off him and grabs it. He throws it back at Wukong instead and does the other spell. And the rope tightens around his neck and turns into a solid gold ring around his neck. And no matter how Wukong transforms, it stays tightly bound around him.
Okay.
Silverhorn grabs Wukong and pulls him in, and he tries to bring down his sword on his head, but it just bounces off without hurting him. Instead, he decides to just search him, finds the gourd and the vase, takes them off him, and drags them back inside the cave, and he orders him to be tied up with the rest of the pilgrimage.
Well, that's what you get for showing off.
Yeah, that's what you're trying to get for being overly clever.
Trying to throw one of your friends under the bus. Friends! One of your associates under the bus.
You say that, like, after being tied up next to each other, he and Baji just immediately snipe at each other for a while.
Well, no, yeah. Fair.
Wukong is already planning an escape, though. He waits till he isn't being watched, and he turns the iron rod into a file, and he's able to file through the gold ring around his neck. And as he does this, he immediately shapeshifts into a monster and turns one of his hairs into a copy of himself to take his place tied up in the pillar. So no one spots this happening, but Baji immediately recognizes him anyway and cries out that Pilgrim Sun is an imposter. And Goldhorn hears this from across the room and asks what's going on, what's Baji talking about. And Wukong, in disguise, shouts...
Say less things.
Wukong, in disguise, shouts back, Zhu Baji is trying to persuade Pilgrim Sun to escape by transformation, but Sun Wukong isn't willing. And Silverhorn says, oh, we thought that Zhu Baji was too stupid to try any tricks.
I mean, he is. He very much is. With all the hair splitting things here, no pun intended, couldn't he create copies of all of them and they could fuck off and there would be no trouble?
Actually, yes, I hadn't thought of that, but yes, he definitely could and does not bother.
So he's just doing this for his own for his ego to show off.
Oh yeah, he can't just walk like sneak away having been defeated.
Yeah, no. Fuck's sake.
Like in the last chapter he was about to steal the vase and the gourd off Wily Worm and Sly Devil. And the only reason he didn't was because he thought, like, just mugging them would make him look bad. So he decided to trick them instead.
You know, Gertrude, the girl boss Gibbon, wouldn't be swinging her monkey dick around like this. Just saying.
That's the new t-shirt that we're never going to actually get around to setting up a store for.
I mean, if anyone wants to help out on design, we can pay you a percentage of Redbubble profits. I don't know. We make zero money from this. Like, we stand a terrifying trans queen. It was one of my favorite ones. Gertrude, the girl boss Gibbon. And what were the other ones that were requested?
Don't go to the Peach Festival.
Don't go to the Peach Festival. Always good. Tell all your friends that.
There was one other one suggested on Twitter the other day. Let me just... I won't read out the name because I'm not sure about would they want that. But we're done with child murder was another one requested.
I mean, I don't think it's a statement that anyone could object to.
my we're done with child murder t-shirt is raising a lot of questions that's answered by we're done with child murder t-shirt.
Why are we done with child murder? What's wrong with you?
Do you not want to be done with child murder? Fucking hell.
Yeah, how long have you been beating your wife? Or when did you stop beating your wife? Isn't that the question?
Yeah, the one that there's no good answer to.
And we are done with child murder.
So Silverhorn says that they didn't think Zhubaji was intelligent enough to try and trick them. And he orders Zhubaji to be caned, which Wukong immediately volunteers to do. They're such pricks. I love them so much.
Honestly, this raises more questions. Yeah. Nobody likes Zhubaji, though. Nobody.
Not even the narrator likes him.
No.
Zhubaji tells him, though, that if he actually hits him hard, he is going to reveal his disguise again. And Wukong asks him, how the hell does Baji keep spotting his disguises? None of the monsters in the cave recognize him at all. And Baji tells him it's because Wukong's arse hasn't changed with his shape-shifting. He could recognize those bright red buttocks anywhere.
More questions are being raised all the time, and I don't like it. You know... If there's anyone who's a big fan of DS homoerotic undertones in fiction, then, you know, it's me. But this is just weird.
I mean, he's a monkey. He has a red arse. So in response to this, Wukong heads out to the kitchen, wipes some soot off some pots, and uses it to blacken his arse.
It's a smart move.
The perfect disguise. Baji notices this and just laughs even harder at it.
That's so uncomfortable.
Wukong goes up to Goldenhorn and he points out to, you know, that pilgrim son over there tied up. He's thrashing and crawling all over the pillar he's tied to. He might damage the yellow gold rope. We should tie him up with something thicker instead. So Goldenhorn agrees. He pulls off his belt and hands it to Wukong to tie up the fake Wukong. Do you have more questions?
None that I want answered.
I swear I'm not making this up.
Aren't you?
I'm presenting it in a very leading way, but I'm not making it up.
The horned demon takes off his belt to go on. We are such children.
We are. I do want to say, I'm not trying to make fun of the book. This is just a very funny chapter in itself.
Yeah, I think the comedy is intended here.
Yeah. Wukong takes Golden Horde's belt and uses it to tie up the fake Wukong. As he takes the gold rope, he stuffs it up his sleeve and he makes a copy of it out of one of his hairs, and he hands that back to Golden Horn. So Wukong, the rope in hand again, decides it's time to try and confront the demons head on again in another fight. So he heads outside, turns back into his true form, except slightly shorter, and he tells the guards that he's heard that the demons have captured his older brother, Pilgrim Son, and he, Grimpil Son, is here to free him. Grimpil Son.
Grimpil Son. Very, very Alucard. Okay.
Yeah, I assume there isn't any footnotes for this. I assume in the original letter, in the original language, this is just a transposition of the characters that make up his name. And
that would be cool.
And Anthony Yu has tried to emulate this by swapping the syllables. But yeah, he claims to be Pilgrim Son's younger brother, Grimpil Son. This is a very farcical chapter.
Yeah, I'm loving it a little bit, and also kind of uncomfortable.
This is one of my favorite chapters. So Silverhorn heads out to confront him, taking the gourd with him, and Goldenhorn tells him to be careful. If you remember how this works, you hold it upside down, call out someone's name, and if they respond, they're sucked into it. So Silverhorn takes the gourd and he calls out, Grimpil Son. And Wukong hesitates for a second to respond. He knows how it works, but he thinks, well, it's if you respond to your name, right? This is a fake name. So it's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Wrong. He answers and he is immediately sucked inside and sealed up. He is again just trying to be too clever for his own good. He wants to like show off and be like, "Ah, your gourd doesn't do anything to me," and he just gets sucked in.
If this monkey learned how to leave his ego at the door, this book would be 20 pages long.
So you know, this is a worrying situation, though. Sly Devil Wily Worm said that people who get sucked inside get dissolved into pus in 1 3/4 hours. But Wukong thinks to himself, I'm not an ordinary person. I was trapped inside Laozi's brazier, for I can say the word.
You can say the word. Well done, Quiva.
For 49 days, and it only made me stronger. How could this gourd possibly hurt me? So Wukong...
With acid.
Wukong overhears the brothers saying that they'll wait for him to be dissolved in the gourd before opening it. And they'll just like pick it up and slosh it around and listen to see is there liquid inside to test it. And so Wukong thinks...
This is how you dispose of a corpse.
Yeah. So Wukong at first thinks all I need to do is like take a piss or something. And it'll slosh around if they shake it. But then he thinks, no, that'll ruin my clothes. Which was also his biggest concern last chapter when he was escorting Silverhorn on his back. He's very concerned about his clothes at the moment. So his alternative plan is to just wait until they start shaking it. And when they do, he'll just start spitting out as much saliva as he can and make the noise that way. But there is a problem with his plan. They're in the middle of throwing a party. they're not actually bothering to check it at all. They just leave it there. They're not in any rush. So Wukong starts to get bored and he tries to come up with a new plan to trick them, and he suddenly shouts out, "Oh heavens, my shanks have dissolved." And I misread this the first time I read the book. When I first read this, I thought he actually had like started dissolving without noticing, and that like all his legs were gone before he realized this. And I thought that was very funny and just another example in the chapter of him trying to be too clever for his own good, but it's actually just a trick. He's not actually dissolving, sadly. I think it would be funnier if he was, but
it would be.
Just notes for Wu Qing and for the second edition. And anyway, so after another minute, Wukong shouts out again, "Oh mother, even my pelvis is gone." So Goldenhorn hears this and he decides to check on the gourd to see how the dissolving is going. And as he does, Wukong turns another hair. He must be going bald at this point. He's doing a lot of hair transformations this chapter. He turns the hair into a fake version of himself, with half the body melted, stuck at the bottom of the gourd, while he turns into a tiny insect. And hides near the lid, and he jumps out as soon as Goldenhorn opens the lid, and he turns back into the form of Sea Lolling Dragon. So the brothers see the fake Wukong at the bottom of the gourd and reseal it quickly. He's not quite dissolved yet. We'll leave him another bit. So
yeah, I mean, it's like opening an oven when a cake is still baking. You know, you don't want it to fall in. Or
a watched monkey never dissolves.
Exactly, yeah.
The brothers... I read that. But Wukong isn't dissolved yet, but he seems pretty done for. He's dissolving at the bottom of the gourd. So they raise a toast, and as they're doing so, they quickly just hand the gourd to the nearest minion to hand, which is, of course, Sun Wukong in disguise. And
of course,
he slips it up his sleeve and replaces it again with a fake one. So he now has the gourd, the purple gold gourd and the yellow gold rope in his hands again. And he's starting to come up with a new plan. But that plan will have to wait until the next chapter.
Okay. Well, that was probably the most on-brand Wukong we have seen in a very long time.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil what his plan is, but it's very funny. Oh, I do have some footnotes for the first time in a while, though. Which is actually to do with, adaptations, or loose adaptations. In the last year, there's actually been a couple of big companies like putting out their own Monkey King spin-offy things. There's two very similar ideas I have learned about. One of which is there's a whole line of Lego sets and a cartoon called Monkey Kid, which is apparently a setting or a story of a kid in the modern day discovers the Monkey King's staff and gets his powers, basically, and kind of becomes his protege. Odd has to fight all the Monkey King's old enemies, and they're like various demons from the novel. Gold and Silverhorn are apparently in it.
Okay, interesting. When you said Monkey Kid, I was kind of wondering if like they'd Muppet Babies. Is it? So
yeah, it's more. I have not like watched the cartoon, but from the synopses, it seems more like a superhero setup, basically.
Okay.
With the kid. I think it said his name was just in the show was just MK. with him just kind of like having to fight these demons that are showing up, and the Monkey King, I don't think he's called Sun Wukong, I think he's just called the Monkey King, like teaching him how to fight and how to be a hero. And obviously a bit more child friendly than this novel. But there's also Lego sets. Most of them are kind of superhero-y, and have all these kind of like, I don't know, the Monkey King version of the Batmobile and shit. But there's this one I just sent you a link to in the chat.
Oh, okay. This is quite cool.
Yeah, fancy Flower Fruit Mountain Lego set that has four different versions of Sun Wukong in it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That is a price tag.
Yeah, Lego is expensive.
Yeah. My friend Becky has recently developed a Lego habit. And I was very much encouraging it. And she's like, oh no, it's really expensive. And I was like, girl, you treat yourself. Get the Lego. And now I'm looking at it going, oh, now I see the problem.
Yeah.
Buy Lego if you like it, I guess.
So there's another thing.
Although if Lego would want to sponsor the podcast, freaking love Lego. Can't spend enough of my hard-earned money on Lego.
Lego is very good.
Amazing. And Lego is so great that even when I step on a piece of it, I'm not angry for very long because the pain reminds me how grateful I am to live in a world that has Lego.
Yeah, and it means you've just found some Lego.
Exactly, and that just makes your day. Please give us money.
There's another one as well that's only came out in the last few weeks. That's a kind of a similar premise, but DC Comics have introduced a character called the Monkey Prince.
Interesting.
That's apparently Sun Wukong's biological son somehow.
Yeah, how does that... Yeah, I mean, he was originally made of stone as well. I'm not going to even think about the mechanics of it. If you guys want to write the fan fiction, that's on you.
But yeah, just from reading a synopsis, it's just like he's never met Sun Wukong and thinks I think Sun Wukong is basically like a deadbeat dad.
I mean, of course he would be.
But yeah,
can you imagine Sun Wukong getting a Father of the Year award? No, no, he is the kind of dad that therapists dream about. You know, it's.
He's basically a superhero, except he thinks superheroes are stupid and he doesn't like superheroes, but he's basically a superhero. And Zhu Baji is the person who's teaching him, apparently. He's called in the comic, apparently, Sifu Pigsy. Sifu means like a teacher or an expert in a given trade. Also, it's apparently Cantonese slang for monosodium glutamate.
Huh.
According to Wiktionary.
Well, there you go.
But also, this also means that within the DC universe, it's now possible for Batman to fight Sun Wukong, and for that to like be a plot that is official and makes sense. If anyone wants Batman to fight Sun Wukong, or Superman, or whatever.
Yeah, Sun Wukong would win. Somehow.
You know, there's a million adaptations of this novel and stuff with Monkey King in it, but some big Western companies are starting to take notice. We can look forward to the Disney movie in 2 years' time, probably.
Oh, good God. Well, on that note...
Sorry.
I'm gonna leave you to think about that.
Sorry for saying it and thus bringing it into the world. You can blame me when that film gets made.
It's okay. You sent me a really cool video of your cat earlier.
Yeah, I've had a busy week for various things, but I adopted a cat that immediately found a way to hide, basically crawl in between the walls. By going underneath my kitchen cupboards into a spot that I couldn't possibly reach without dismantling half my kitchen. And she's just hiding in there all day and only coming out at night to eat. So hoping to eventually like see this cat I adopted a week ago.
She'll give her time.
Yeah, I asked a shelter for advice and they basically said just don't try and pull her out or do anything else to scare her and just let her get used to the flat in her own time.
Anyway. So pray for Cuiva's cat.
If you'd like to get updates on the cat, follow me on Twitter.
Yay! Our handles are in show notes, I believe. So thank you. Keep listening. Follow me for jokes and her for cats.
I've made a promise now. I actually have to start posting videos of the cat because I haven't. I have a webcam set up to track it at night.
I want permanent access to that webcam. It's a very adorable cat. It's a very, very adorable cat.
Oh, anyway. Enjoy or listen to the next episode when we get to see Wukong trying a very, very silly plan.